Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters. By way of introduction, I am Father Patrick DiLoretto with the Diocese of Colorado Springs. How I ended up here in South Carolina, I have no idea. but I'm also, actually I do know how, is I'm also a co-sponsored priest with the Archdiocese for the Military Services. And for the last several years, your Knights of Columbus Council has been supporting me both through their prayers and their financial assistance while I've been in seminary, and it was at their kind invitation that I am here today. And so I would like to thank them for their assistance, and also thank Father Wilson for allowing me to celebrate Mass here at your beautiful, stunning church. I've only been a priest for 3 weeks, so I'm what we call in the priesthood a baby priest. And so if I make any mistakes, just don't hold it against me. But I would like to tell you that after being a priest for 22 days, I can happily report that the 9 years I spent in seminary were worth it. Being a priest is incredible, and I'm so very honored that God gave me this vocation. One of the lessons you learn while you're in seminary, though, is that you need the support of the people of God to become a priest. Certainly, there are spiritual needs that we need help with. We need prayers from the people of God to overcome many of the challenges that we face in seminary, but also the financial struggles that we will have. While seminarians don't have to pay for seminary studies itself, they still have bills that they need to pay. They need to pay for their car, they need to pay for a computer if it breaks, they need to pay for insurance. And oftentimes, seminarians will have very little or no stipend whatsoever to pay these bills with. And so they look to the people of God to help with that, and especially the Knights of Columbus. The Knights of Columbus always come to the aid of seminarians, and as I'm sure Mark has already learned after 1 year of seminary, the Knights of Columbus are your best friend with assisting you financially. The Knights Councils throughout the country support seminarians by sending them these generous donations to help pay their bills, and if there's enough left over after paying the bills, to also go do fraternal events with your brother seminarians. And by their generosity, the Knights live out the instructions which were given to us by St. Paul in the second reading today. And as a reminder, what St. Paul said, as a matter of equality, your abundance at the present time should supply their needs. This command given to us by St. Paul urges us to act as an act of love towards God and towards our brothers and sisters to care for the poorest among us. This requires generosity and detachment on our parts towards our brothers and sisters. We can look and see how an organization like the Knights of Columbus has lived out this precept of Christian charity throughout their entire existence. And in fact, it is the very cornerstone of their existence. Blessed Michael McGivney, the founder of the Knights of Columbus, saw from firsthand experience that there was no safety net for families who lost their fathers in the late 19th century. He himself had to leave seminary after his father died to go and care for his younger siblings. To address this need, he founded the Knights to care for orphans, to provide insurance for families in the event that their fathers became disabled or were killed, oftentimes in industrial accidents. Since this humble beginning of caring for orphans, the Knights began to take on a more active role in defending the church in a country that was oftentimes hostile to it. In my own state of Colorado, when the seminary built a beautiful chapel in 1929, and by the seminary in Denver itself, the KKK threatened to burn down the chapel. So in response, the Knights of Columbus dedicated their time, spending night after night for years on end, patrolling the seminary on horseback with rifles to ensure the safety of the church and the seminarians. In more modern times, the Knights have been instrumental in helping Christian communities around the world. when ISIS was murdering every Christian they could get their hands on, the Knights of Columbus were busy trying to save as many Christians as they could, funding them so that they could leave those dangerous areas and come to places more safe and secure. On a more local level, I don't think there's a single priest or bishop in the country that can accuse the Knights of ever failing to rise to the challenge when their aid was requested. To help with the spiritual growth of the less fortunate and to grow in their own spiritual treasure, the Knights have helped to fundraise to build churches, which I'm also informed they helped to fundraise to build this beautiful church. They have sponsored pilgrimages throughout the world to the Holy Land, to Italy, to Spain, to many pilgrimage sites to help encourage that spiritual growth that we all need in our lives. They have promoted the devotion of the rosary at a time when many were casting it aside. They have generously given of their time, talents, and treasure to help both the poor and the larger mission of the church to save souls. All of us here can look to the Knights of Columbus as an example of how we are to live out Christian charity in our own lives. The end goal of this charity is, of course, to live our lives in such a manner as to attain the end to which God has called us to, eternal life with Him, who utterly satisfies us. If we lack in love of our neighbors, we lack in love of God. God, who has given us the gift of baptism, has made each of us members of His own body, so that when we see another fellow Christian, we see not only him or her, but Christ who lives in them. Christ who so deeply loved them that He came down from His lofty throne in heaven, took on our human flesh, suffered and died for us, so that death itself would no longer have power over us. As we can see in the gospel today, with a young girl who was raised from the dead by Christ because of His salvific power. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to examine your own lives. Are we living out Christian charity to the degree in which Christ has called us to? If not, examine your lives and say, Lord, how can I grow in charity and so come to obtain my eternal reward in heaven?